All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. September 6th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. I hope it is great wherever you are at. It is Friday, end of the week. Beautiful, beautiful time of the year, man. It has been awesome. It's not hot. It is perfect outside. No humidity. Not a lot of people. Kids are back in school. Great week. Great week. So I hope everyone is having a great week. Been busy. Had a fun week this week as far as recovery goes. Shared about it a little bit in a few of the podcasts. Chaired a meeting on Wednesday. Buddy came down and spoke for me. I don't know if I've even shared that, talked about it yet, but he's a great guy. You know, I live in a town. There's like, you know, I live in Rehoboth. There's a town next to me or up the way a bit, Ocean View, you know, Selbyville. There's just all these great little towns. And in every little town, there's a lot of great little meetings. And when I first got sober, you know, we used to sort of go all over. There wasn't as many meetings, so the choices weren't as much. So we used to sort of have to travel a little bit. If you wanted to try to get a meeting in every day, you'd have to travel a little bit. And but over the time, especially over the pandemic, we've gotten so many meetings that I've sort of forgotten about Ocean View and these small other little bit areas. And I actually spoke over in Ocean View, I think it was last winter, in fact. So I was at a meeting the other day, and I heard this guy share. I guess it's been a couple weeks now, and he had a great message. You can just tell, right? You can tell if someone's been around and doing this and, you know, where they're at. And I could tell this guy had, you know, a bunch of time and just, you know, solid recovery. And I asked him if he would share, and he came down and shared on Wednesday. Great job. Big fan. Came with a friend that he was with when I met him at the meeting the 2 weeks before. And then he asked me, hey, can you come and speak at our meeting? And I was like, of course. So I'm going to speak next Thursday over in Ocean View. Pretty excited about that. The cool thing, man, the cool thing about this guy is that he shared and he stood up, right? I still think that's the move. It's a scary move, right? It's, you know, there's probably, I don't know. Like I said, that is, I appreciate because to me, that is what goes on today. That is the problem. That is my issue. It's that committee. And I said, I know when you stood up, there was probably 10 voices that said, don't do it, right? I spoke at a Banyan meeting, I don't know when I did it, last winter. And I stood up, and I remember that all the voices inside of my head were like, do not stand up. You're crazy. And I stood up, and it was fine, and I loved it. And so I appreciated that he stood up. I always think that's a good move, good game. And loved his message, and I look forward to sharing for those guys. So I wanted to read this, and then, I'm going to just sort of share about the week a bit and how I almost could have completely messed it up. But let's see. This is 5, maintenance and growth. It is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. That's true. To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile? But with the alcoholic, whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of harboring resentment is infinitely grave. And then we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. Yep. The insanity of alcohol returns and we drink again. And with us, to drink is to die. If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the sudden rage were not for us. Anger is dubious luxury for normal men. For us alcoholics, it is a prison. And I cannot agree more. I've read that like 3-4 times this morning, and I'm starting to finally hear it with my ears. Thank goodness. It is, or with my brain, because I agree. Anger is a luxury for normal men, and we are not normal. I am not normal. And so, I've shared a little bit about RFK Jr. He shared in that interview. She said, are you doing this out of anger, right? Are you, you know, trying to get these people back? And he says, no, that's a resentment. And he goes, resentments are like drinking poison and hoping somebody else dies.
Mm-hmm.
Killers, Spaceman, great song. Yeah. So, yep. Resentment is like drinking poison and some hoping somebody else dies. And, you know, these are all, that is such a great statement. And I remember him saying that, and this was like last week he said that. And I remember the lady was like, she had to think about it. Like, I don't know if people really do realize that, right? I think when people hear that for the first time, they're like, what did he just say? But that is, to me, that is the that's recovery in one basic statement, and it's about willingness. And, you know, I've talked many times, right? You can't be a victim. You can't be or a volunteer, right? Because until we become accountable and realize the part we played, right, we're only hurting ourselves. And that is how that statement makes out. And that's sort of what that reading is to me, right? You just, we don't have that luxury because that's the kind of shit that will make us drink, right? Anger and resentments. And yeah, so anyway, it has been an interesting couple weeks. You know, I've shared a little bit about my father and all the stuff that he's going through. It has been, I don't know, man, I've had yesterday I sort of had this this moment where I finally, it's not climaxed, but sort of came to the point where I was like, all right, let's figure this out, because I have been so bothered by this whole situation. And, you know, not really understanding what my problem was. And so it all started, you know, with my dad getting sick and going into the hospital. It started with my dad asking me to do his finances. And, I don't know what that means. You know, when he asked me to start doing his finances and start kind of taking over, and I was dealing with one, you know, is my dad dying? And two, what are we going to do moving forward with all of my dad's world, right? Everything him and my mother put together over the 50 or 60, 70 years of being together. And now, and last week, 2 weeks ago, you know, it looked like my dad was going to die. I was like, Jesus Christ, he is in the hospital. He's no guy, can't breathe. He's on the fourth floor. He's going into surgery. We, you know, and he's like, you know, take care of this. Take care of this. And I was like, oh my God. And you know, that's, it's weird, right? It's weird. It's like five different things I'm stressing out about. Or I shouldn't say stressing, just maybe uncomfortable, you know, a little scared, right? I don't want to fuck up, right? I keep telling my dad, man, I need to make sure we have everything in place that if something happens to you, I'm not just like, what do we do, right? And we've done it, right? But for some reason, I just want to keep over worrying about it. And, you know, and this was, it was all, and we've been working on this, you know, this topic, this, you know, this moment for a few years, right? Especially after my mom passed and, you know, this conversation's come up, the end, right? And so it's just been fucking a tough couple weeks, man. And I can tell you, if I'm going to be honest, part of it has been this idea, you know, and I've said this before, my dad, like most of our parents, he's not a rich man, but he's put some money away. Right? Any money that, you know, as a person that has never really had money, any money makes me go on a daydreaming journey, right? Oh my goodness. Whoa. And, I prefer to think that I would be, you know, cool and careful and prepared, but there's part of me that wants to buy a Ferrari, right? And I don't think he doesn't have that kind of money, but that's my point. I just go, right? I'm retiring. I'm moving to an island. And I'm a driver Ferrari. And that's 10-year-old Tom, right? And I'm like, we're not doing that, of course. But then I've also, you know, I've shared that money is, you know, I can become very miserly. I, you know, I hoard it. And the more money there is, the more to hoard. And, you know, everybody around you is like, stop hoarding. And so the point of it all is it's been a fucking crazy couple weeks, right? And so, you know, I shared that my dad had me write a check. The checkup flagged. I was out visiting my dad the other day. That guy from the state came out to make sure that we were not abusing my father and stealing his money. And I was like, Jesus Christ. And I said, would you please tell this guy that you freaking told me to sign that check? So point is, we got that all worked out. I would never do that. But that's what I start feeling, right? This is the the stress that, and I've talked with a bunch of people about this, and I am not the only one that has had to feel like this or has felt like this, right? Anybody I think that deals with their parents, you always don't want to be that guy that, because I think anytime I see somebody, some kid taking care of his parents' finances, I automatically think he's probably ripping his parents off, right? Happens a lot. Wouldn't want to do that, and I'm very proud not to do that, right? These are normal things, though. We should not be doing this to our parents. But I tell you, sometimes my dad, he drives me crazy. But we, you know, the point is, he's getting better. Right? I saw him yesterday. He's like back to his old ways, feeling better, wants to come back home. You know, we had discussed him coming to live with us. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to live on his own and drive his car, and I think that's fantastic. That's what I prefer. So, but it's just been a roller coaster of a couple weeks trying to move that money, getting in trouble with the bank, leaving the bank, putting my money into a new account, bank flagging check, bank's check still flagged, right? I can't even get into my money until tomorrow. And this is the first time in a long time I haven't really had any money. Sure, it went to the bank the other day, I had 19 cents. I'm like, what? It's been crazy. But I had to, you know, I think part of my issue that I've had, and yesterday was really weird because I had to go see my dad and I go, you need to write me a check. I need money. I don't have any money. All of my money and your money are tied up in this other account. I need some money. And you need to write me a check. And so he did, and we cashed it. And I went to the bank. I said, can I put this cash in my bank and have it accessible? I couldn't make my car payment. I couldn't do anything. And so I'm like, can I take this $2,000 and put it in my bank and have access to it? And she's like, yes. And I said, all right. And so, which was funny because I put the money in and then she goes, here's your balance. And I'm like, that's a bigger number. And she goes, yeah. And I go, and what happened is that my Square account from work finally got verified. That's the other thing. You know, I had to change my Square. I had to change my Venmo. I had to change all of this stuff. And my Square account became verified. Now all the Square charges that I was doing through the salon were now entering the account. It was all, you know, fixing itself. But, man, very stressful. And but, you know, I think one of the biggest challenges, I think, and I hate to even admit this. I hate to admit it. But I started to fantasize about money. You know, like I've said, my dad doesn't have a lot of money, but my dad has a chunk of money, right? And my brother and I, when my dad passes, it's all broken down in a will. You know, who gets what? My brother gets this, I get that. And like I said, we're not talking a ton of money, but, you know, as a guy that has never had money, you know, it's a little decent money. And immediately, you know, the court is in session, right? The committee up in my head goes crazy, right? And, you know, I've talked about this committee. I came into the program with a committee of 12, one angel, 12, 11 devils, right? And the one angel it was good for was calling 911, right? Saving my ass, getting me out of these pickles, but the other 11 always kept me in it. And over time, right, over time, you know, I've swapped out a few of the angels and devils, right? It's like the Supreme Court, you know. Some of the angels do... We do agree, but sometimes they're a little loose, right? And I have to remind myself that even though it is an angel and a, you know, a thought of in the humble way, sometimes it's not always perfect. And it's sort of what's been going on this week, and I've been caught up in the money and sort of daydreaming of retirement all of a sudden. You know, I'm 55. I'll turn 56 in a couple days. You know, I plan to retire at 62. I'd like to. I don't give a shit how much money I get. I want to retire. I want to live in a village. I don't care, but I just want to do something. I don't want to be the guy that works until basically I die. So, but all of a sudden, you know, with my dad being sick, I'm like, oh my God. And I'm starting to have this feeling like I want to retire. All of a sudden, I don't like my job. All of a sudden, I'm having anxiety about going to work. All this shit's going on. And it's really been fucking with me this week. And I think it all finally came to a head yesterday. Yesterday I'm praying because I had to go see my dad. I had to get a check from him, take it to the bank. I wasn't sure they were going to cash it. I had to take money over to the cleaning people. It was like a real strange day, and all day, all morning, I was praying, "Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you," because I was fucking sick. I was spiritually sick yesterday. And finally, I had to say to myself, stop being a prick, right? Stop thinking about money. And admitted it, right? Tom, you were thinking too much about money. You were thinking too much about, because I have always said, you know, I am not living unless I'm suffering, right? I've said that so many times. I say it to people, they're like, what? What? And I'm just a guy that needs to sort of be doing what this other side of the committee would rather have me do. There's part of my brain that would rather have me on the couch watching TV, eating bonbons, right? Not being lazy. And not doing anything, right? And then there's a side of me that wants to be at work, you know, work is good. And it's a constant battle. And one group is like, you know, all of a sudden shows up, they're like, all right, here's our argument. We think that we should retire and relax. And you know, I'm like, yeah, maybe that is a good idea. And then the other committee's like, no, that's a bad idea. But the truth is, unless I'm suffering a little, I'm not living, right? I've said before, my worst days are my days off, and my best days are the days that I work the hardest. And that's not really how I've been programmed. I feel like I've been programmed to think days off are the best, and work days are the worst. And it's just not the case. That's maybe what I say, but in my heart, that's not how I feel. And the devils have been telling me that I don't need to work. And I've been contemplating and thinking about it, and it's not the case. I need to be working. I need to do, you know, I need to be doing something at least at this point in my life. And I've just been, you know, off the reservation a bit. And I had to call myself out on it yesterday. And because, you know, the small amount of money that my dad has that hopefully he'll, you know, one day leave to my brother and I, it ain't enough to retire, right? It's, I think my son's like, you need a couple million dollars to retire. I'm like, Jesus, I'm never going to retire. Or I just lower my expectations or standards or what it is I need, I guess. But I don't think I'll ever retire. But that's just what's been going on. You know, I have to just sort of tell myself I've been, you know, sort of indulging in a lifestyle that didn't have a lot of suffering. It had a lot of, you know, gluttony, and I've been feeling it. Oh, and so the reality is my dad is getting better. He is not going to die. Thank God. I do not want to deal with that. You know, the reality is you got to keep working, man. You got to hang in there and do what you have to do. But man, I've just really been spiritually sick all week and really focusing on this and getting caught up in it the whole time, telling myself, you're not going to get caught up in it. You're not going to get focused. You're not focusing on this, but it's what's been happening. And I haven't felt good. And I have to talk about it, right? I have to say, this is the thing. I think it happens to a lot of people. It definitely has happened to me. And I really am not a money guy, right? I do not have the best shoes. I don't drive the best car, right? I don't eat the best dinners. I don't wear the best clothes. I wear the same Walmart shorts. Wrangler shorts from Walmart are really good. But I wear the same cheap shirts, cheap shorts. I am not a guy. Even if you gave me $1 million a day, I don't know what I would do with it, right? I would probably go on a vacation. But I'm not buying another car, right? I'm not buying another house. There is not one thing that I need. You know, my wife, my birthday's coming up. She's like, what do you want? I said, I really don't need anything. Nothing, right? I couldn't buy, like, even we have a TV downstairs. I have this Sonos sound bar, which I fucking love, right? I bought it, you know, however many years ago, and it's so good. It's too loud for my wife. I have to turn it off every night. You know, I'm stuck with TV speakers, right? There isn't a surround sound. There isn't nothing. There's nothing that I need. I guess all I want is just a shitload of money to feel secure. Right, and I think that's what happens to all of us. I look at my dad's money, and I look at him, and I go, "Why do you have so much freaking money in your checking account? Right? Why are you putting this? Why isn't this somewhere?" And I think it's just all security, right? We all just want to be secure, and I don't understand why I can't find secure. You know, the one thing I always hope I don't do is pick up a drink, right? And I put a lot of work into it. I can look at myself. I can look at my day. I can look at my week and say, okay, this is the effort you put in to protect ourselves from, one, not drinking, but also not losing that spiritual connection, right? And that's what's been going all week, just spiritual stuff. My, you know, this uneasiness, sort of not holding the hand of God, you know, mingling with the devil. And, you know, I definitely didn't want to drink, but I was way too much in my head over this thing. And, yeah, I don't know. That's just what's been going on. Let me see. Let's do, does this happen to other people, right? Is this something new? I know it isn't, but, oh, we had football last night. That was good. I guess the Chiefs won. I don't know who's a fan of who. What is this? Okay. Yeah. I am working today. Back to work. Thank God. And, you know, so the whole point really of that was is that I feel better today. Oh, man, I felt so shitty all week. I felt shitty all for the last 2 weeks. And I sort of been trying to share and talk about it. I didn't want to admit it, but I feel better today. I'm back to work, right? For the last few days, I've been dreading going to work, sick of my clients, not wanting to work. I just have really been feeling pretty toxic lately. And so it feels good today to be sort of back, feeling good again. Let's see, daily reflections. Yeah, it's been a rough couple of weeks, man. And the most important thing is I'm glad my dad's feeling better. He is. But now a whole nother level of stress coming in because, you know, he wants to move back to his house, which I think is fine. It's always been like, you need to, if you can drive, you're good. If not, you know, you need to probably come with us. And then him and I will sit and have these conversations and agree and come to a conclusion. And then I'll leave him. Like yesterday, I went over there the other morning. We had a big chat, you know, sort of tried to figure it all out. I left, had a teleconference call with them yesterday, and they're like, your father wants to bring in home health care. And I'm like, no, right? We already discussed this. If that's where he's going to be, he needs to just come live with us. We could take care of him. We don't need to pay thousands of dollars to somebody just because he's lonely, right? I mean, I get it, but yeah, there's nothing, you know, he's not on medication, doesn't need, you know, he's capable. I think we'll see. But you know, this is the other thing, you know, I'm trying to give my dad the room that he needs. Right. And I talked to the lady on the phone and the guy's like, I told him if he can't take care of himself, he can come live with us. And the guy's like, well, that sounds like what an awesome family you have. Most people don't have that offer. And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, we're offering you to come live with us. He goes, what are you going to give me a room and a bathroom? I'm like, that's pretty freaking good. Right. You know, I don't know how many people could move a father into their house, right, and give them a room and a bathroom right next door. That's, you know, I thought that was pretty fucking awesome. So anyway, stay cool, bro. All right. Daily reflections. What's our time like here? To time. All right. Here we go. Removing threats to sobriety, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step nine, right? Step nine restores in me a feeling of belonging, not only to the human race, but also the everyday world. First, the step makes me leave the safety of AA so that I may deal with non-AA people out there on their terms. Not mine. It is a frightening but necessary action if I am going to get back into life. Second, step nine allows me to remove threats to my sobriety by healing past relationships. Yep. Step nine points the way to a more serene sobriety by letting me clear away the past wreckage lest it bring me down. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I just sort of talked about that. I love step nine. I mean, that is the, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of stuff that has to sort of, I feel like had to happen with me before, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 really could be utilized. And that's willingness, right? And accountability, you know. Like I told my wife yesterday, I go, all the shit that's been going on, because the biggest challenge that I've had was right when my dad told me to write this check and put it into my account to pay his bills. He said, this check you can sign, your co-signer signed the check. I listened to him, I signed the check, I put the check, and then all the flags went off and all of our accounts got locked down because, you know, they're worried that people, older people, this guy told me, he goes, where I live in Delaware, he goes, the FBI are, I don't know if they're opening an office or they're really focusing on this area because there's a lot of money moving to this area and they're all old people and they're all getting scammed. And so there's a lot of focus on older people getting scammed for their money. But I'll tell you right now, baby boomers, man, they're the only ones with any money, right? It ain't my generation, right? So they're under attack. And this guy's like, you know, people are really putting a lot of effort to protect older people. I appreciate it, right? I get it and I appreciate it. But, you know, when that happened and writing that check, you know, it locked up our accounts. We moved money. That account was blocked. The flagging, the guy from the state coming down. I was glad that I was there when he came because, you know, I've shared, man, I felt like a criminal. I felt really a lot of shame and I didn't even do anything. It brought like old feelings up. But the point, and I told my wife, I go, the problem is that all of this is my fault. Right. Because, you know, he said, you can sign the check. I should have double checked. Right. There's a lot of opportunity for me to blame like the banks and that lady and my father and all these people for what happened. But the reality is that when my dad said that I was a co-signer on that account, I should have double checked. And the worst part is we're friends with, you know, my wife's good friend is at the bank. My wife worked at the bank, PNC. Right. And I should have said, hey, my dad says I'm a co-signer. I know I'm an executive on all the accounts. Turns out that that really kicks in when he passes. But as of right now, I'm not a co-signer on the check. And if I had to check that out, I would have learned that and we could have avoided all this. So, you know, like that sort of that reading in the ninth step, you know, identify, figure out the part that I played, become accountable, make an amends, right? And then pack it up and put it away, and we're not going to be a victim to that anymore. I was stupid. I screwed up. But we can get through it, and we are through it. We're through it now, but I don't need to take this with me, right? And that's that was the thing I talked about in the ninth step for me was this backpack of history, right? And the eighth and ninth step allowed me to at least clean up the parts that included human beings, right, and past relationships. And I could say, hey, you know, I'm sorry, especially for the ones that I was, you know, blaming other people or institutions, right? Like I could spend the next 3 months talking about how fucked up the bank was, right? But the reality was it was my fault, right? And so to, you know, avoid all of that and, you know, move forward, I have to be accountable. And so that's what I was telling my wife. This is my fault. I did this. This is my own fault. But we're coming through. We're making it. And but, you know, that's what it is. That's what it's about for me today. And that's the change was that willingness, right? To be willing to look at the part that I played in all of the situations, right? Not just the obvious ones. Like on the surface, this looks like the bank screwed me over. But, you know, peel it back a little farther and we realize, this is my fault. And so, yeah, I don't want to live like that. Crazy week, feeling better, back to work, back to the person that I really am, which is just a guy with no money showing up, doing the best I can, and having a good day's worth of work. All right, later.